T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, a song that changed video forever. What was this? It was like 15 minutes long, the video, right? Because they debuted it in prime. They promoted the crap out of Thriller and debuted it in primetime network television.
Wasn't it on CBS?
I think so. Yeah,
it was, everybody and their mama watched it.
Yeah.
I know I did.
Huge.
Michael was winning back then. It was Beat It, This, Billie Jean.
Yep.
Remember
the whole album was banging.
Remember the Time wasn't on this album, but yeah. It was awesome.
What are you chuckling about there, boy?
So we got Roy Lee, who tweets us, the ridiculous
the Swamp People
Saints fan.
Yeah, right.
He tweeted us a story about a wife bringing home a coyote and texting her husband and her husband's response. And the guy's screaming at his wife through text message. And he's like, you know, I'm going to come home to my family eaten by a coyote. And she's like, coyotes don't even eat people. And he says, wait a second, a minute ago you were arguing it was a coyote, now you're giving me facts about it. This is a pretty hilarious text thread, by the way.
And by the way, coyotes, you know, I don't think they'd be averse to eating people.
They would eat a child. This woman has the coyote sitting on the couch with her child in diapers. So yes, it would eat a child.
Anyway, on a much I guess as I was going to say,
don't you remember the dingo? Note. The dingo ate my baby.
Yeah, but nobody believed that. Everybody thought that was just absolutely false.
The dingo ate your baby, like the Seinfeld episode.
Mm-hmm. Back here at the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this Halloween Tuesday as we get ready for trick-or-treating tonight. And, of course, everything that entails, which means it'll be a lot of fun. And all the crumb crunchers out there, you know, knocking on the door of candy. We have a poll that's going on our Vision Computer poll that's going on multiple platforms. Is that correct?
Yes, so it is going on our website at 929thegame.com, but you can see the link on our Twitter page at 929 or on our Facebook page at 929 there as well.
And it's our candy draft, correct?
It's our candy draft. So mm-hmm. This morning, John, Hugh, Daryl, Bo, myself all went around the room like we would do a fantasy football draft, but this time we were drafting Halloween candy. So I had the first overall pick. I took Kit Kat. My second pick was Twix, and then I rounded it off with Skittles. John, what did you have?
I had Milky Way, Baby Ruth, and Payday.
Hugh?
I had Snickers, Mr. Goodbar, and M&M's.
Daryl?
Butterfinger, Starburst, and Sour Patch Kids.
And then Bo?
I had Reese's, the entire family, including Reese's Pieces, which probably should have been put on the poll to help my votes, Twizzlers, and Gummy Bears.
Yeah, that was kind of terrible.
But then I traded Payday to the Saints
Your draft is kind of terrible because, like, chocolate is the staple of any trick-or-treater. Like, that's the go-to.
Do you know what Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are?
You only got one chocolate, though. Then you got, what, Twizzlers and what else?
So? I like Gummy Bears.
And then you went off the reservation, and Gummy Bears wasn't even on the list, and you picked them.
Oh, I'm sorry. The candy list, I didn't see candy corn on there, but it's a Halloween candy
corn really is candy terrible. Corn.
It's garbage. Who?
Travis Schlink doesn't think so.
Well, I can't say too much bad about
candy corn
about
is
Travis,
garbage.
But
and that's
we need to reevaluate his candy. If they're giving away candy corn, then that's the problem. We got to get him right. He's only been here for a little while.
Does anybody have that guy or gal or the house in their neighborhood that gives out sodas?
I remember my friends talking about
that. Yeah, some people give out sodas.
There was one guy that gave out Shasta, and it was like he had boxes of Shasta, and you had lemon, lime, or orange, and the kids would take
a Shasta.
That's
when people run out of candy. That's the backup.
It's in their pantry.
Not even Fanta.
Start giving away candy.
Shasta.
Giving away sodas and stuff.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't be mad at that as a kid.
See, I remember when I was younger, I used to like to go to the neighborhoods where mom handed out the candy. Because mom was pretty generous, and mom bought enough candy to give out. Dad, he gets a little skimpy with the candy. Like, dad don't like to hand out, like, nice piece of candy. He like, go one a bag
like,
or something like
one
that.
Piece.
Yeah, get one piece of candy. Like, mom lets you grab as much as you want because, you know, she has kids, too, and she just enjoys the holiday. Dad is thinking about how much candy he has to give out at night, how much is in the bag, how much he's giving out. Yeah.
John Fricky.
I just had a light bulb go off. I have a big vat, a big one that I have. It's a big purple, you know, plastic vat that I use. And so I could fill that thing up with ice and put water and beer in it. And when the kids come along, I could,
No.
And when the kids come along, what?
John, you're going to jail.
Let me finish it first.
Well, when the kids come along, I give them water. And when the adults come along, I give them a beer.
That's not bad. But
if you make a mistake.
The kids going to throw plastic empty water bottles all up in your grass. And you're going to have
But wouldn't you want, I mean, you're getting so much candy. Wouldn't a water be like kind of a good thing, you know, kind of later in the trick-or-treat?
No, they'd be looking at you like, and they're going to say, you cheap SOB, take your water. And they're going to throw it at you.
Well, that could have another thing over there. Go, okay, it's Circus Peanuts. I'll take the water.
You're going to get egged. Your house is going to get egged. Don't do that. Don't do the kids like that, man. You're the neighbor that they're going to egg your house. And then they're going to be calling your names and riding their bikes down the street with their little skeleton mask on, you know, throwing stuff at it. Ridiculous.
A lot going on as we get rolling through here. Aaron Taylor will be coming up in a few minutes, and we'll be talking with him about college football. And, of course, today is mentioned the two big kind of two-track thing that we're working on today, the NFL trade deadline at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we're already, since we're after the 9 o'clock hour, I am on some of the big Twitters here. Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, the Rap Sheet, just to see if anything pops early today. There's, you know, a lot of discussion about, you know, rumors about whether or not, for example, the Detroit Lions would actually entertain. Now, if I were the Lions, the rumors are that the Lions are being called by more than one team to see if they're willing to trade the rights to Megatron. Now, obviously, the deal would be contingent upon a couple of things in terms of what the Lions would get. One, that if they traded the rights to Megatron to, you know, Team A, whether Team A could actually get Megatron to sign with them, and that would be one thing, and then B, whatever Megatron's impact is on that team the remainder of the year. And, you know, in other words, you trade him and get a sixth-round pick, and if he has a, you know, a certain amount of impact, maybe he goes up to a third-round pick or something like that. So that's one thing to watch, and that would be rather interesting. What in the world? This is
now. How do you think I feel when I just saw this? I don't know who this is, and this person has on the mask.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really,
That's John Michaels.
Oh, okay.
That's John Michaels.
He didn't even giggle or anything.
No,
that's
didn't.
John Michaels.
Yeah, because
I was trying to look at
I have
the
to
bill.
Show this to then my Instagram friend.
He's coming in there. He wants to sing.
That's a scary mask, though, man. That
is a pretty scary mask.
That is a scary mask.
You know?
And just him just sitting there looking all creepy.
You know, see, we need to do your eyes. To make it match.
But we're actually kind of used to it because, you know, I mean, we see Bo every morning, so.
It's not as scary as that song.
But, you know what, Wes? Good morning, Wes Druham.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Wes.
How are you doing?
Windy. Fabulous.
Good morning,
what are you giving
Wes?
Out at the house tonight for Halloween?
A hard time. Ramen noodles.
Cool.
Ramen noodles and bouillon because there's too much sugar in this world.
Hey, listen.
I'm kidding.
That's not bad. They got to win, Wes. They finally got to win.
No, it was all good. Everything was all good. And it didn't rain in the booth. That was the second best thing that happened.
You know, Wes, I was listening to the broadcast.
Bless you. Appreciate that. We'll get your ratings book.
Listen, I was listening to the broadcast, and there was one time, like, and it was one time that Clemson almost came out.
Canton Zero. We almost had Clemson scoring on the field goal.
Yes, yeah. and it made me chuckle because I'm like, that's the first time I've ever heard ever.
You got to listen more.
No, and I'm like, that happened because you have so much going on in your mind. But I'm like, you know, that was pretty cool that, you know, you're human.
Happy college football playoff
poll
release.
He just called you human.
No, he's a robot. No, listen.
Happy college football playoff release date, everybody.
Tremendous amount of respect for my man, Wes.
No, you're the man now.
No, you're the man. And I just was like, wow, that's the first time I ever heard
by the way,
that close.
Hugh. Central State.
I knew it was coming.
Central State now.
That's not won a game.
That job
season.
Is going to be open, Hugh.
It is going to be open.
Wes.
Job is open.
The campus looks lovely, by the way. They fixed it up.
Fixed it up.
There is not enough money on this planet.
For coaching?
To make me go.
Coach?
To move back to Ohio to coach anybody.
Bo, how you doing, bro? I'm worried about you. It's Tuesday morning, Bo. Bo's got his hand in his face.
Every morning is Monday morning, Wes.
He's just mad it's Halloween and it's a fun day.
Yes.
Yep.
Wes.
Yeah, man.
Is Miami in the top four?
No, sir. Not absolutely not. No, sir. Is not
Georgia,
this week.
Is Georgia number one?
Yes.
Georgia, you think so?
Georgia will be number one. Alabama will be number two. Notre Dame will be number three. And
Wisconsin.
Fourth Ohio will State. Be Clemson or Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's not what Cal Turd said.
Wait, hold up. What? How did Wisconsin's undefeated, though?
So, is, again, the problem. What if look, let me give you all some ground rules about tonight. We got time for ground rules.
You
got
to, hey, listen, school us.
All right, ground rules for tonight. First thing that remember is the AP poll does not matter. That's number one. Okay. So everything you've been believing now for the first 8 weeks of the college football season no longer matters. Okay. What matters is who you've played, who you've beaten, and how who you've played has played. Georgia has the single best win right now
in the nation
of anybody undefeated.
Notre Dame.
Correct.
Correct. And Ohio State has the second best win of anybody. But they're not undefeated. I mean, because they're not undefeated.
Right. Of zero teams, Georgia has the best win.
Sure, I agree.
That's why they'll be number one.
Because there's only five teams without a win, five unbeaten teams.
Of the best undefeated teams, Georgia has the best win. Georgia has the best schedule. This is not, and by the way, this is not meant to send people running into the streets telling me how great the SEC is, because it's not. I'm just telling you, Georgia right now has the best win of the zero teams. This really also becomes, here's the second ground rule. It becomes a question of math, and the math is in the loss column, 0 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you reach 2, you become subjective in the committee room. And that's the other thing to remember in the ground rules. This is a committee room. This is not some cat in his mama's basement with a computer theory. Uh-huh. This is not somebody who's advertising odds and, oh, by the way, here's my power poll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is not John's top 10, Rick's top 10, Mike Bell's theory of relativity to college football.
Mm-hmm.
This is real committee stuff. They break everything apart. They have an analytics company, which is based in Atlanta, by the way, Sports Source Analytics, that provides them all the working data to compare teams.
Mm-hmm.
The further this goes, by the way, the harder it becomes, because zeros and ones don't tend to stay 0 and 1.
Yeah, they change.
And therefore, the dynamic of the one-loss team changes. Here's the thing you've got to hope. If you're a Georgia fan and you want to stay in this, the number one thing you can do is win. Because if you get to the SEC title game undefeated against either 0 or 1 Alabama, and you win or lose the game, you still probably have a chance to make it to the Final Four. If Alabama is 0 and you're 0 and you lose, you're probably going to make the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The loser of the game is probably going to get in the Final Four, providing Miami doesn't go undefeated, Wisconsin doesn't beat whoever coming in from the other side of the Big Ten, somebody doesn't emerge, the one-loss Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Is not powerful, beats Oklahoma State twice. By the way, 2 wins over Oklahoma State would be pretty interesting in that committee room if you're looking at Oklahoma. If Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma twice, 2 very interesting wins over Oklahoma. All this is playing out now. This is just the starting point. So forget everything that's happened. Tonight becomes the starting point on the rest of the college football season, and we got 4 weeks left. It'll be 5 weeks, including the championships.
Wes Durham in studio as we get ready for the college football. Hey, real quick here, the trade deadline, surprised that Jimmy Garoppolo got dealt?
Yeah, but I'm not surprised it was for a 2. That was about right. I mean, if New England was going to pull the trigger, if they were going to move Garoppolo, they were getting something.
Essentially, it's a 1.
Well, exactly. And
for them.
And for New England, the magic continues in Foxborough, doesn't it? I mean, Brandon Cooks was for what, a 3? Is that right? 3 or 4? What do we have Brandon Cooks move for?
No, I think Brandon Cooks was a 1.
Did they get a 1 for Brandon? Wow.
They absolutely got a 1. Oh. Because remember, New England had New Orleans had 2 picks in the first round last year.
How about this?
But this is, and I'm reading reports, Wes, this is basically contingent on the fact that they were going to, New England was negotiating to pay Garoppolo big money.
Mm-hmm.
Garoppolo didn't want to do it. You know why?
He wants to play. Hey,
I want to play.
They actually, I think they might have missed the boat here, because they could have got a real first-round pick for him if they had traded him in the offseason.
And by the way, Adam Schefter reporting Garoppolo not expected to play this week. C.J. Beathard will start.
Well, not. If he went West Coast this week and played Sunday, that'd be impressive.
Very impressive.
You boys go be the literally run to the Buick and turn around, and you go to the Chevrolet and take it out to the curb and run up on the yard at Mrs. Smith's house, and I'll hit you over there. That'd be the playbook for San Francisco if he played this week.
College football fans, you can join College Football Game Time Saturday. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, and myself at Stats downtown, 11 to 3 on Saturday. Cold beer at Stats. Going to be great food. Going to be a lot of fun. 11 to 3 Saturday at Stats. Randy Mac.
Nebraska game on there?
Who?
Just checking.
Brought to you by Bud Light, famous among friends. We'll talk more with Aaron Taylor around the corner, too, about this.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, we're going to welcome him in. You can hang around if you want to.
Okay.
Have some fun.
Sure.
With Wes Durham on Sports Radio 99 The Game. The sounds of college football with the college football playoff poll released tonight. Welcome back to the Kia Studios morning show with John and Hugh and Wes Durham jumping into the fray here. One quick pro football note. You may have just heard Grant talk about Jay Ajayi being traded to Philadelphia for a fourth rounder. We'll have more on that coming up in a couple of minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We'll talk about it too.
Hey, Miami, Damian Williams is now the feature back.
Yep, there you go. We welcome into the program Aaron Taylor, lead college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. He's going to be on the air Saturday for the CBS doubleheader, South Carolina taking on Georgia, LSU taking on Alabama in prime time. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you, fellas. It's good to be here. I'm excited about this weekend of football we got coming
up. The question is, who are you calling as the number one team? Will it be number one Alabama or will it be number one Georgia?
It's interesting. I think we're all interested to see how the College Football Playoff Committee establishes kind of how they're going to be viewing these teams moving forward. Historically, the four things that they look at are championships won, strength of schedule, head-to-head competition, and then finally comparative outcomes. Obviously, no championships have been won yet. Everybody's expecting Georgia and Alabama to be there for the SEC at the end of the year for a mega matchup, and a lot of people, myself included, think that there's a chance that they could both end up there. I don't think it matters where you start at this point. I think there's an argument to put either one of those teams there, but I think Alabama has earned the respect it deserves by how it's performed on the year and the season so far. I expect them to be number one, Georgia number two, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the committee saw it the other way around. I think what's most interesting is who is 3-4 and the rest of the teams all the way to 10, because I think there's a strong argument that any of those teams behind 1 and 2 deserve to be in this first poll.
Oh, there's no question about that. But, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and I know that when you look at them for face value, Miami has not really played anybody, but they're undefeated right now. And they have a second-year head coach. Why aren't they – why do you think they won't be considered to be in the top four?
Well, Miami's had a great season. I mean, it's hard to go undefeated in football, and that's certainly something that they've done so far. They've won their last four conference games against Florida State, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and North Carolina on the road, but it's been extremely close by an average of 3.5 points in those games that they've won those conference games. And of those, only Georgia Tech has a winning record. So when you look at the body of work of Miami, it's impressive that they're undefeated, but who have they really played? Who have they really beaten? And they've barely beaten those teams. You've got to give a lot of credit to them. I think that they're a much-improved ball club. Mark Richt is as tan as he's ever been. He's fun, you know, enjoying the sun and getting that team playing at a high level and navigating some injuries even at the running back position and still finding ways to win. But at the end of the day, I think the committee's going to view their resume a lot like I think they're going to view Wisconsin's resume, which is who have you beaten, how strong has your schedule been. I think at this point with so many undefeated, I think that that's going to factor in, and there may be some one-loss teams that are ahead of them as a result.
Aaron Taylor is the lead college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. Again, the doubleheader for the SEC on CBS, South Carolina, Georgia, and LSU, Alabama. Am I the only one thinking that LSU-Alabama could be an interesting game? Because, Aaron, I think I look at that.
Last year.
And LSU's playing much better football the last 3 weeks.
They are. I mean, they had a couple bad losses, Mississippi State and, of course, to Troy, and everybody was calling for their head, and then they come back and they've been on this winning streak, and now it's, you know, Coach O for Coach of the Year. It's so funny how fickle college football fans are and how impatient they are. Last year was a barn burner. It was a defensive game that had a total of 10 points scored in it. So there's some history there. Now, Alabama has dominated as of late in this series, and I would expect them to win this ball game, but I think it's going to be quite a bit more challenging because of the things that you mentioned than maybe some people expect. Is Alabama a three-touchdown lead, and are they three touchdowns better than LSU? Man, maybe. I don't think so. I think it's closer than that. I would expect LSU to come out and swing extremely hard. They're running the football better. They're getting a little bit more efficient quarterback play. That defense that looked good at times and then struggled at starting to find their footing, I think this LSU team kind of had a gut check moment earlier in the season, and as a result, I think they give Alabama a game, but Alabama's too powerful, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. What Nick Saban has done, reloading and having zero drop-off in production from year to year, I don't think gets as much credit as it deserves. Hugh, you know better than anybody else. It's easy to climb to the mountaintop because you're driven, but to stay on there when you've got the target on your chest and maintain it consistently is something that I don't think but one or two coaches in the modern era have had an opportunity to do, and Nick Saban's one of them. Everybody else is trying to do that, but has yet to prove that they can.
Aaron Taylor of CBS here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Aaron, it's Wes Durham. I'll tell Bates that we didn't get to talk about Redfish during this visit on the phone, okay? Because I know that's one of your guys, and I've enjoyed working with him on Saturdays. Let's go to Notre Dame. I'm gonna tell you to put the alumni hat on. And I've joked with some people since Saturday. I want Josh Adams in the Heisman race, and I want him up top because I think he's a bad man, and he's got 5 200-yard games, and they're coming against real teams awarding 85 scholarships, and Saturday was two Bills against a really good defense.
I've watched that game tape, and I got to tell you, Notre Dame's offensive line is playing at an extremely high level. I think they have a real shot to win the Joe Moore Award, which annually goes to the toughest, most physical offensive line unit. They finish. They come off the football. They accelerate their feet on contact. There's a play that you can see on one of the long touchdown runs that Josh Adams have where they pick up a stunt, the left guard, Quentin Nelson, and the center, Sam Lucifer, exchange a stunt with the linebacker, Blitz. And as they're running down the field, covering the ball, as Josh is certainly in open field running for a touchdown, they're hitting each other and going shoulder to shoulder and goofing around because it's really the O-line version of high-fiving because they had worked on that and picked it up effectively. Notre Dame is having fun. There was an issue earlier in the year, I think, where you saw some film come out of the locker room where Coach Kelly and everybody was dancing and having fun. I think that's been the element that's been missing. But on all three phases, except maybe the special teams, there were some issues there with some pump protection in the NC State game. Notre Dame is playing extremely well, and I think if they go undefeated down the stretch, they'll have an extremely compelling case to be in the college football playoff, which is going to absolutely napalm the committee's decision-making because there's going to be a lot of good teams that get left out if Notre Dame's in.
Yeah, no kidding. That's something we'll have to focus on. Aaron Taylor, he's right. Aaron Taylor, thank you very much. Do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Thanks, fellas.
Have a good day.
Aaron Taylor, the SEC on CBS against South Carolina, Georgia, and LSU, Alabama on the doubleheader here. We're going to jump out of this because the poll's tonight at 7, but since we have Wes Durham in the studio, I want to go back to the NFL. Trade deadline's at 4. There was breaking news right as we were in, right before the update with Grant, that Jay Ajayi has been traded from the Dolphins to the Eagles for a 4th-round draft pick, and Hugh Douglas's Eagles just got a running back of some renown here for not a whole lot in return.
Not a whole lot at all. Wes, this is bananas. The last time I saw Jay Ajayi, he had 26 carries for 130 yards. So for the Eagles to get him, that's pretty big.
I think the scenario plays out here. I mean, you're talking about teams that want to create some degree of reinforcement for themselves. And Philadelphia, what did we just talk about? They got Dallas twice.
Yeah.
May have Dallas twice without Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, depending on the courts.
And you got to get one of those. If you want to stay alive and try to win the division, you got to at least beat Dallas once. Right.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. This could be a very active day, John, as the trade deadline falls here, at 4 o'clock, I guess, today?
Yeah.
Because I think you're talking about scenarios here with teams. And in particular, let's take Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia makes a move. They're 7-1. They got a 2-game lead right now in Dallas. And like you said, you got to win one.
All right, so can I ask you, can I jump in and ask you just two quick questions here?
You want to ask about Atlanta, don't
you? Yeah, of course I do. Do you think the Falcons make a move? I mean, would they go after a top
There was Ali, one speculated or? Last week that I kind of liked, and that was one involving Geno Atkins.
Okay.
Because I think Geno Atkins is a perfect fit for what they do here. And that was before Ataba Rubin had the game he had Sunday. I think Rubin also fits that spot too. So, you know, did I slow my roll on the interest in Geno Atkins? Yeah, a little. But at the same time, I think if you're a team that thinks you've got a chance to do this, you got to create your reinforcements.
Does Megatron get back in the league, and does Eli Manning get traded? We have about a minute.
Golly. I don't think Calvin Johnson goes back in the league this year. But if he plays again, it will not be in Detroit. I can almost guarantee that. Eli Manning get traded? Absolutely not. He's going on the Ring of Honor at MetLife Stadium. He's won two Super Bowls. He's not going to be anything but a New York Giant.
That was surprising. That was even some consideration.
No. Eli Manning is not Joe Namath as a Ram. He's not Franco Harris as a Seahawk. O.J. Simpson is a 49er. Eli Manning's a New York Giant. That's the only place he'll ever play.
It was always a great pleasure. Thanks for dropping
Anytime, by. Guys. Happy college football playoff release day.
You are the man.
Trade no deadline day.
Halloween. Yeah, trade deadline, Halloween.
Yep, everything.
And John Michaels wearing some silly-looking mask.
And singing bad songs.
If he wears that, by the way, Sunday in Charlotte, there'll be a fight.
So I was telling you guys yesterday about Game 5 of the World Series where Yasiel Puig hit the two-run home run into the stands. You saw a man grab the baseball out of a woman's hand and throw it back onto the field. But I have an update for that story. So the guy who took the ball from her was her brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, so they were related. Okay.
So they were related, and apparently they had talked about throwing the ball back. But this, her name is Sarah Head, and this is her talking about the experience.
It just felt like really like the ball was in slow motion coming at you, just falling out of the sky slowly at you. A few seconds, you're like, oh my gosh, I caught the ball. And they're like, oh, there goes the ball.
I intended to do it. I've been talking about it for days.
We've laughed about it.
She gets good Christmas presents now.
Yeah. She better.
So now he has to make it up by giving her some great Christmas presents. But he said if he had to do it again, he would do it again.
I just think, you know, I understand they're relatives, but that was a little overzealous on his part. I mean, I think he just went really over the top. I mean, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand when you look at his face, if you saw it, he was in the moment and he felt some kind of way about it. I get that, but still, you don't make decisions for other folks like that. You don't do that.
If you caught a World Series ball home run from the other team that you were rooting against, would you keep it or throw it back?
John, yes, I would keep it because I know at some point the guy that hit it is going to call me and he's going to want it back. And I'm like, hey, bro,
yes,
you better break bread.
I would keep it.
Break bread. Well, we can negotiate. I mean, because you're going to want it.
Of course.
And I mean, even if I'm not rooting for your team, then I'm going to make you pay somehow. So, yeah, you're going to give me some money for that.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live last night while Jimmy was out sick. And he started off by putting himself right in the middle of the Matt Damon feud. So this is Shaquille O'Neal. Jimmy Kimmel normally does an opening monologue. And this was Shaq filling in for him yesterday.
Welcome to Jimmy Kimmel Live. I'm not Jimmy Kimmel. I'm your guest host, Shaquille O'Neal. That's right. Tonight, ABC goes from Blackish to Shaq-ish. But before we get started, I have one rule tonight. If you don't laugh, I'll kick your ass. Let's do a monologue. You guys like impressions?
Yeah!
That's too bad, because I don't do that. Hosting a late night show is a new thing for me. It's like when Michael Jordan decided to play baseball, except I'm going to be good at this. I have all the things you need to host this show. A suit, a band, a stupid, no-talent nemesis. See, Jimmy has Matt Damon, and I have Charles Barkley.
Oh, ouch.
He's like a balder, fatter Matt Damon.
Shaq, everything Shaq touches turns to gold. And that little bit that I heard right there, that's pretty impressive.
It was pretty impressive. Those monologues are not easy to do.
That's the
first thing that you do when you host the show.
And for him to hit it and not flub any of that, he's been doing this for a long time. And shout out to the writers, man. And shout out to Shaq for cashing another check, because I'm pretty sure that they paid him a ton of bread to do that.
Well, he also gave himself a bunch of new nicknames now that he's a late night host. So he continued on last night.
As you may know, I have a lot of nicknames. Superman, the Diesel, Shaq Fu, Big Daddy. But now that I'm a late night host, I came up with a new nickname for myself, Arsenio Tall. I've got more. Phil Donahue. Conan O'Hiwan. Oprah Winfrey Throws. Anderson Hooper. Black Sajak. All right, that's enough.
So he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. For Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sure he'll be asked again to do that because he knocked it out of the park. Well, Thrillist.com put together a list of the 33 scariest horror villains of all time. So since it's Halloween, I thought this list would be appropriate. And these are all villains from movies that you have seen. So do you guys have any villain in the movies that you are...
You mean from the scary movies?
From the scary movies.
Jigsaw, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and Jason.
What's the little clown guy in It?
Jigsaw. Oh, in It?
Yeah.
Oh, Pennywise.
Pennywise.
Yeah, so wait a second. Now, this is the all-time and only horror movies?
So there's a top 20 list. So Freddy Krueger, as you mentioned, came in at number 20 on the list.
Ooh.
Okay.
So he's down on the list.
So, I mean, it's like old school, like Frankenstein and Dracula,
too? These are all old school movies.
Pinhead.
So, let's see.
Is Pinhead on the list?
What
I'm just
movie?
Throwing out names.
Hellraiser.
Yes, Pinhead is at number 14.
Oh, wow. This is a tough list.
This is a very tough list.
Is Pumpkinhead on that list from the movie Pumpkinhead?
Pumpkinhead is not on the list.
But it's only horror films, right?
It's only horror films.
Okay, because it's not like The Wicked Witch of the West. Is Hannibal Lecter considered a horror film? Or is that a thriller?
I think Hannibal Lecter. Thriller.
He is not on the list.
That must be a thriller.
Well, who is on that list?
So let's just go through the top 10. So at number 10, you have Dr. Jack Griffin from The Invisible Man. It's back in the 1930s.
Yeah, that's
so
old
I don't
school.
Think any of us have really seen that movie. Annie Wilkes from Misery.
Yeah, she was kind of,
I don't remember this movie.
Oh, Misery, where James Caan is the writer, Kathy Bates is,
she was crazy.
Norman Bates from Psycho.
Of course.
Okay.
John Doe from Seven, played by Kevin Spacey back in 95.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was pretty good.
By the way, did you hear House of Cards? Canceled.
I haven't seen it.
Didn't watch it. They canceled it because I
At number 6, the shark from Jaws comes in.
Wow.
Just you got to respect
shark.
The shark.
The alien's not on there, but the shark. Okay, whatever.
Hold on. That was only number 6. At number 5, the alien from Alien. Pazuzu from The Exorcist. Is that how... That's the demon that possesses
Linda Blair.
And number 3, the thing from The Thing.
Okay,
man, that was a nasty.
Who made
movie.
This?
Which movie?
The original or the remake? The one
John Fricke made this list.
Okay, the original. No, that's not the original.
That's the remake. Yeah, the original was
that's been remade like twice. Yeah.
Oh, so this is the one from 1982.
Okay,
Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, that's the Kurt Russell.
At number 2, Margaret White, a.k.a. Carrie's mom from Carrie.
Okay.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Yes.
I haven't seen this movie either. And at number 1, Leatherface from the Texas
Chainsaw. Leatherface. Yeah, Leatherface was pretty good.
The only one that they have from really this year is Babadook from The Babadook in 2014. Pinhead, like you said, from Hellraiser at 14. And then Pennywise, this current Pennywise from 2017 comes in at number 16.
I saw that this weekend.
Wait, It?
What'd you think?
It.
I've never seen the
remake. They did a great job all the way up to the end. Like, really. Like, setting everything up, the scary parts and everything, until they started to try to get into the story. And then it was like, for real? Yeah.
The original scared them
the best. Falcons fans. You can score a touchdown with Kauffman Tire, official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Stop by any Kauffman Tire today for a free 3-minute auto check. Just roll in there and say, I want that free auto check that we're talking about. Kauffman Tire, as always, says rise up and go Falcons.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.